back on if you can't handle the heat.
Can you handle the heat?
Ooh, can you handle the heat? Good one, Jeff.
Very good, very, very good.
Let me just get me AirPods on.
I'm fucking bougie like that. Yes, I am. Welcome back to another... Can you hear me?
Alright, we ready?
Mm-hmm.
We go... Yeah. 3, 2, 1... Welcome back to another episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat, presented by Out of System. I just ended it. I decided to add the presented just because, you know, prestige worldwide. Joe, how we doing, my man?
I'm doing solid. We go to Spain next week, so fired up for that. And, you know, there's actually some interesting news that came out about that. We'll get into that later on in the show. But, you know, you just got back from a side trip spearfishing, I heard.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, first of all, I want to talk about how I love the podcast. This is why I love the podcast, because I'm here with no pants on, and I could be completely naked but still be doing this podcast. And that's what I love about the podcast. You know, for the clips that we choose for YouTube, I could just put clothes on really quick. But other than that, I'm feeling free. I'm loving it. I'm living life. I just went spearfishing. Caught two, I forget what they're called. I think it starts with an H or a K. The striped, yeah, so I went spearfishing, went a couple hundred yards out there in Lanikai. I had a real, real good time. Went with my good friend Alakai and Brett Sheward. So I'm going to start doing that, trying doing that every week, trying to fill that void of non-volleyballness. So basically that's where I've been up to, just trying to do activities. I find myself actually maybe not more busy, but I've been more like on the go since I've had more time to myself, because I'm always trying to fill that up with stuff I'm not able to do when we have volleyball, because we're like literally not allowed to do volleyball right now because we can't like go anywhere and do it. But you see like BYU, basically if you're not in California, and even in California they're still like doing open gyms and whatnot, but if you're not in California and if you're in Hawaii, you're okay to do anything you want. Like you see videos all the time, so we're stuck in a pickle here.
Well, over in Europe here, we're, everything's green lighted as for now, except, some interesting news just came out yesterday. My club's rival, and actually who we're going to be flying down to Gran Canaria within a week, or we're supposed to, just had a member on their team test positive for COVID. And rumor has it that it was an American. I'm not sure exactly.
Where was it again?
Whom. Berlin Recycling's volleyball, our rival.
Who are the Americans there?
They have Cody Kessel, Ben Patch, and one more.
You should DM him. DM him. You should find out who that is.
Slide into the DMs, because it goes down in the DMs. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's just kind of rumors going around the German league, but apparently someone was in a cafe. Which, I don't know, the rumors I hear about the Berlin team, I have a feeling that it was not a cafe, and they were in a little more of a social atmosphere, let's say, like the underground techno clubs or something. Just rumors.
Kit Kat, they're at Kit Kat, for those of you who know who Kit Kat is.
Kit Kat.
Kids, don't look what that is up.
So if I were to guess, I'm going to assume that that probably played a role in one of their members catching the virus, but who knows? You know, I don't want to jump to conclusions, because, you know, if you assume things, you know what it does. It makes an ass out of you and me, and we don't do that here at Out of System. We want the truth and nothing but the truth.
I mean, sometimes we can over-exaggerate, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we give our opinion on things. We like to give our opinion, too, but we like to base it on some sort of truth. We don't like to just BS stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's my life.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Are you kidding me, bro? I'm an online school. Dude, I've been wanting to tell a lot of online schools for a while now, but I'm still in online school and I can't do anything, especially if Charlie hears some of the stories that I have. And if he's listening to this right now, I'm sure he's going to approach me and ask me what those stories are. And I'll be like, Coach, don't worry about it. I'll tell you after I graduate. Don't even worry about it.
After I get my diploma.
That's the truth right there. You guys, I mean, I had a hard semester graduating from Samoan, and then I took hula last semester, basketball, yoga. I mean, I had a hard semester last semester, so this is definitely, I actually have some real classes this semester. I mean, I wish I had all the classes this semester. It would've been interesting to see what how it would've gone about that with the activity classes online, but probably not very, very successful here. But yeah,
let's get into some of the news in the volleyball world, specifically more so like the international world, you know, because there's not much. I mean, you've seen like places like Texas and down in the South and some leagues that some volleyball is happening in the U.S. But for the most part, it's pretty void of any volleyball news and any volleyball action going on. Really quickly, I want to bring up, we saw this past week, I think the Korean League was the first league to really get going. You saw an American, fellow American, Kyle Russell, national team member, win the MVP of the first tournament.
$3 million.
No, that was not $3 million. Basically, whatever. I think it's won is the currency in Korean.
I'm looking that up.
In Korea, and it converts to about 2,500. I looked it up already. It's about 2,500 U.S. dollars.
I just saw
for winning the MVP of that tournament.
I just saw $3 million. I was like, oh my god! It's only 2,500.
If you see the picture post, yeah, 2,500 U.S. dollars. If you look up the picture from Kyle Russell winning the MVP of that tournament, it's a giant check with just $3 million and a bunch of Korean symbols on it, and so that's what Gage is referring to. It was actually in won, and yeah, like I said, I think if I calculate it out right, it's about 2,500 American.
Yeah, 2,517. Nice, that's not bad. It's at all.
It's a decent payday. Is he
on a good contract? He's on a pretty good contract, too. Yeah.
Well, in that league over there, I'm pretty sure that's the same thing. I think base salary for those guys, first year, they're making $300,000 a year. Pretty sure it's the same thing over there in Korea, China, and Japan. I could be mistaken, but I've heard that the Chinese league has a ton of money this year. And the Korean league might be also different, too. But I'm pretty sure Korea and Japan are similar in that. First year players making $300,000 American.
Who's in China from America?
Absolutely ridiculous.
Who's in China?
Matt Anderson. He's playing in Shanghai this year.
Oh.
For this season. And the other thing about the Chinese league, I don't know how many people know, is that it's a shortened league, and so you see like leagues in the Chinese league or a lot of leagues in the Middle East. They're very like 3 month, 4 month leagues, or India, and so a lot of guys will go sign those contracts, and then they'll sign second half deals for the spring. And so they'll pick up two contracts, which is just like people are just raking in money at that point. I'm sure that. We saw Taylor Sander do that 2 years ago before his shoulder injury. He was in China. He might have been in Shanghai as well. And then he came back and signed a deal in Poland, I want to say, if I'm mistaken. But, you know, that's a really popular thing to do, especially this year right now where everything's kind of up in the air. People are just trying to get their money, get their bread. And so,
you know.
Go ahead.
I would like to give a major shout out and a throwback to Charlie Wade, who decided to get our Big West Championship ring from Wuhan, China.
And that's not false at all. That's 100% accurate. I remember him calling from 2 years ago. He called me this summer. He's like, "Yeah, there's a little delay because our rings are coming from Wuhan, China." Anyone who doesn't know or isn't familiar, that's exactly where the coronavirus and COVID-19 has been discovered to have started from. And so I can wonder why there was a delay on shipping from that area of the world.
I was like, "Charlie, I'm not touching that thing." He's like, "Why not?" I'm like, "Charlie, I'm not touching that thing. Get that. I'm not going to do it." Like, I don't know what goes in your mind to get a ring from Wuhan in the middle of the brink, the peak season of corona. The beginning of it. I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm not touching that thing.
I want to go. There are two more things here in the volleyball world I want to hit. In Italy, they've started up everything kind of getting going for the first time, really, since March 7th, I want to say, is the date. The women kind of got going with their Super Cup, which, if anybody back in the U.S., what happens in a lot of these leagues here in Europe is there's a few different cups that you play in, and but the Super Cup is usually a tournament. It's either a 4-team tournament or here in Germany and I think a couple other countries, it's just one match between the top two teams from the previous season. And they play one match, or they'll just play like a semis and a finals. And it's just kind of a way to get the season going, and it's usually a big event. But it really doesn't mean anything because it's just like there's no usually bonuses attached to it. And there's usually nothing to be won because it's just like the first match is almost like a preseason match. But Italy just started that this week for the women. I don't know if they finish it up, but the men are playing the Super Cup September 5th through 6th. It's an outdoor arena, Piazza del Signori in Vicenza. I probably mispronounced that, but I believe that's down by Verona, and they're playing. It's an outdoor arena, like in a Colosseum. It's like if you look at pictures of the Colosseum in Rome, it's kind of a smaller version of that, but they're playing it outdoors. So you'll probably, if I'm gonna guess, you're gonna have Trentino, Modena, who features Mike Christensen on that team. Trentino has no Americans this year. And then the other two are most likely going to be Civitanova, Lube, and then Perugia, who are all those teams are absolutely loaded this season again with the top players in the world. Those guys are making top class money. And it'll be interesting. It'll be really cool to see. It's an outdoor, indoor volleyball event. So it's going to be really cool to see that in 2 weeks or next this coming week, actually. September 5th and 6th, this coming weekend. So we'll get to just check out that. And if you're interested in that, slide into our DMs. We have links available. We know some side websites. We can't publicly say it, but slide into our DMs on Out of System. We'll hook you up with some links to view those matches. But we're stoked for it. And the last league that just got going was Turkey, men and women. A lot of the top women's national team players are in Turkey right now. And the men are getting going too. So,
speaking of that, how's the stuff? I know Jordan Larson started up a American league. How's that looking? Because that's not a Nashville.
She might have been in part of it, but she didn't start it. So that's going to be starting up in February, and that is happening, supposedly. They announced that it's going to be happening in Nashville. It's going to be like 40 total athletes, so I'm going to guess 4 different teams, and I don't know how there's going to be a draft or something, and they're just going to play us. Like it's going to be like kind of like the Asian leagues where it's like a 3-month season. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you look and there's some really high-level players. They're bringing in a couple Brazilian players I just saw, some hot, really good Brazilian players.
Wow.
And then there's also some players that I don't recognize so much. So it's going to be an interesting league. But it's just kind of a test and a pilot run, you know. You hope that something like that can get going in the U.S. because everybody I talk to over here, all the guys, even like some of the top guys over here, like if there's a league in the U.S., well, they'll even take less money to go play in that. And so
really?
How come? The opportunity's there. Because everybody just wants to go and experience the U.S. and see that lifestyle. They hear so much about it, and they don't really get to experience it. The funny thing is so many people, they shit on the U.S. for so many things, and then they just talk about, oh, I want to go see this. And, you know, even at UH, when we had internationals, we had guys like Stein, Van Tilburg, and those guys, they would make jokes and, like, say how their countries are better at this. But I'm like, first of all, you can't talk crap about the education system because you came over here to come get educated. So any internationals who try to say anything like that, that's the first thing I bring up with them.
Yeah, like, second thing,
second thing is you can't compare a country like Norway or Netherlands or any country like that to the U.S. For several different reasons. And I don't want to get political here on this show. That's not what we're meant to do. This is a political free zone for the most part. But, you know, there's so many reasons why you can't compare those countries. And especially if you're going to go play in those countries, it's just like a total, like, that's the coolest thing right now is, like, me traveling around and getting to see the difference in culture and stuff. It's like, it's easy to see why countries over here are way more easier to manage. And just for one reason, just the size alone, and the lack of difference in like political views and stuff, and like I'm not gonna get into that on this show and stuff, but it's interesting when you see like international players come over to U.S. and what they say and stuff, and you know sometimes you just gotta put them in their place. That's the way I say. That's what.
Joe has no problem doing
that. If you can't handle the heat. And get out of the kitchen.
I mean, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate argument right there. Like, well, you're here, aren't you? Then why you come here? Then why are you here? Like, that's the ultimate argument. And they're like, Like, what do you, I mean? What can you say about that? And it's like, then why are you here?
Yeah, 100%.
At least
100%.
Now, so we decided to bring on a TikTok star, Melissa. I think I'm pronouncing her name Melissa Fuchs Powell. For those of you who don't know, she has a bunch of followers on TikTok, like 36, like almost 37,000 followers on Instagram. We were like, right. Joe had the idea. He's like, you know what? Let's get someone entertaining on here. I mean, not that our guests haven't been entertained. They have. Just kind of, this has been a kind of a different way. They're social media entertaining. But let's get her on the show here. Melissa Fuchs Powell.
We are joined here by Melissa. Every single time I turn on my Instagram, the first thing that pops up on my For You page or my Explore page is always videos of you. And so Gage and I were like sitting, we're like, we have to get it on, because every single time we pull up Instagram, TikTok, you're like the first video that always pops up. So we're like, all right, we have to get it on. You just came out of practice, I was told, correct?
Correct.
So really quickly, can you update us? The last time I heard before I left to get come back to Germany was that they might have been shutting down the beaches and everything. What is the status on that, and how have most of the players down there been able to get on the beach?
Yeah, so I live in Huntington, and we're a little bit more conservative down here. So they never really closed Huntington down, but they closed LA and all the beaches in LA. They took down the poles and everything. So here we've been able to play, but I haven't been able to play with anyone. So I've just been like running and doing stuff on the beach. And then just like recently, well, when the AVP did their little like 8v8 whatever tournament thing, they opened the beaches up again. So like people were training and stuff. And then there was like a random week where they're like, oh, we're going to start ticketing everyone that plays.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay.
I imagine like them, they're like, you guys are going to stop playing like little kids and their parents. So they start taking the poles up. Like,
seriously. Exactly. Like,
fine, we're going to take the poles out of the ground.
Exactly. Okay. Like, I was literally playing and the guys came over and they're like, we're gonna have to take these poles.
We're gonna have to take that ball.
All right.
Your cart.
We're just gonna take you actually to jail. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. No. So like, we can still practice. You just have to only have two people playing, I guess, and you have to be socially distanced on the sidelines. So. No one really does it. Like sets. Exactly. Just me and myself. But no one really does it. Like a bunch of people are still playing Ace, and there's like 4-on-4 always happening. So it just depends on which police officer you get that day, you know?
Yeah.
So I have a question about well, let's get into TikTok here because we have a TikTok star amidst us. So my first question is, how many of these experiences actually happened to you? Did you have a troubling club experiences when you were younger? Or like, where did these kind of generate from?
Yeah, so I played volleyball since I was like 6. So I've been playing for a long time. Like my whole family plays and my parents. And so I played club since I was like 8. I played club. So I've had these experiences. And I played every single position. I played... When I first started out, I was like super tall. I was like 5'10 when I was 8. So I was like super tall. So I was a middle, and then I was a setter, and then I played outside and then right side. So I played every single position. So I had every single experience you could have with volleyball. So then that's where the ideas come from. I like listen to sounds and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that one time that this happened, and I just make the video.
Okay.
Based on the sound, but.
This might be a little bit personal or something, but I feel like just watching your videos, these are like the type of questions, something you make a video about being, because the first thing, my brother and I, we coach a lot of like younger girls, and for those girls who are like taller at a younger age, they're so like insecure. And what is something that you would say to your, maybe your like 12-year-old or 10-year-old self about, were you the same way, or what is some like advice that you'd give to those type of people, how they handle the situations? Because you make light of it. Absolutely. Like I think it's very obvious that you're very, open to embarrass yourself and not worried about like what other people have to say.
Yeah. So when I was younger, I was definitely a little bit more insecure and like, I didn't really put myself out there. I loved making videos ever since I was a kid. I would make videos, and what I'd say to younger girls is like, who cares? Like, you just need to, if you're having fun, like it should be okay, you know, as long as you're having fun. Because I was all about having fun when I played, and a lot of the times coaches would be like, oh, you need to take it more seriously, or like I would get blocked straight down and I'd laugh, and people were like, oh, you just not care that you were blocked straight down. I was like, no, that was a great block. It's just kind of awkward and embarrassing a little that I got blocked. So why not laugh about it, you know? So I would say the same thing to younger girls. It's like, you play volleyball and you do these things because it's fun. You don't like, or why else are you doing it? You know, if you're not having fun and if you're not making light of the situation, then why are you playing? You should go find something that you really enjoy and that really is fun for you and that you can laugh at and you can like move on from like awkward situations or things like that, you know?
When was the first TikTok video you made?
My first TikTok, I posted it and, well, I was really big on Vine. So like I had like a pretty good following on Vine, and then I went to college and my coach made me delete it. Wow. But then
once really? Wait, who was your coach who made you delete it? Which coach was it?
Say his name. What college?
Or her name.
Put him under the bus.
Central Michigan University. His name was Eric Olson. He doesn't coach there now.
I think I know that name. I feel like I know like, Eric Olson.
He like made everyone like, you had to like, if you were going to post something, it had to be approved. So then he was like, you just have to delete it. I don't know. Nothing.
Censorship.
Actually, yeah.
Government censorship here.
Yes.
At Central Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They have the CIA working for him over there.
Yes, they would like monitor everything. So then I just had to delete it. But then TikTok came out and I was like, yes, it's like a kind of like Vine, just a little bit more twisted.
So was your Vine like this volleyball as well, or was it everything?
No, Vine was everything. So, and it was kind of weird humor and like just weird videos.
So
exactly.
So are you going to continue doing volleyball for the rest of TikTok, or are you going to kind of mix it up a little, I think?
I don't know. I've done a few like non-volleyball, but they never do as well. The volleyball ones just like, you know, they hit differently or something. I don't know. But like my first video, it was this video of me. It was just a really weird one of me making extremely weird faces. And the ref calling me on a double or something. And then I posted it on my stories and like 30 people were like, "Ha, this is hilarious. This is hilarious." So then I was like, okay, I'm just going to post it to my feed, even though that was like the first time I posted something super embarrassing. Like I was like really ugly and making ugly faces.
Yeah.
Something I wouldn't normally post, because like if you go back in my old Instagram, it's like all selfies and like model shots. And so then I posted that one and my mom was like, "Why would you post that?" I was like, but it was good because people started liking it. And then I kind of went, I had a big following from before or earlier from just being a college athlete to a pro volleyball player. But then I took kind of a dip when I started posting videos, because I think all the creepy like old men just stopped.
Yeah.
So I took like a dip, and like it kind of took like a while to find the following that like liked the videos. And then, but once I found those people that liked the videos, which are like young girls or like young kids and stuff, that I started growing again. And then getting engagement and stuff. But
do you think you can make it into it, like, or have you already kind of made it into a business already, or is it just kind of just for fun for right now?
Both. I mean, like the ones that I post about volleyball, I don't make like any money off of. I mean, I make these shirts.
I love that you can't suffer. That's awesome.
That is an awesome quote. Gage and I 100% rep that. Because we're like, Gage, my brother and I, when we play like beach, like very rarely we play beach, we'll play in like outdoor volleyball. Whenever we practice, we always lose like right before, the couple days before.
No,
like,
we don't lose. We get destroyed.
We get destroyed. We're like, dude, we're so bad.
I was so bad too. That's where it came from, you know, because I was really bad. And now I'm not so bad, you know. I'll send you guys.
That would be sweet. Well,
for sure.
Thank you.
Your address in Germany.
We'll have to get you.
That'd be awesome.
Out of system, aware too. We'll send over some shirt from out of system too. But that's awesome. How long?
Yeah, fun.
Quick question. My brother and I, we always talk about, we need to get on the TikTok train like way better. We don't even like know anything. We love looking at TikTok videos. We love going.
You love TikTok. I see yours from your thread, but I don't even have TikTok.
You watch TikTok videos just as much as I do. You send me TikTok videos as well. No, I don't know where from.
When's the last time I ever sent
you? How much? I want to ask how much time goes into a TikTok video for you. For some of these, it looks like a long time.
Yeah, so probably, they could range from anywhere to like 5 minutes to like 30 minutes. It's never like an hour, unless I'm like doing some really big editing and I'm lazy, then it takes me an hour. But it's kind of quick. It's like 5 minutes to 30 minutes. And if I just have to redo the lip sync or something, then 35 minutes. It's not too long.
Do you have any roommates or is it you just by yourself there?
I'm married, so my husband.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Does he help you?
Sometimes you can see him in the background, like cooking, and he's just like, yeah, I have to make food. I'm like, well, I have to make a video, and he's like, okay, well, I'm just gonna be in it.
Does he ever like walk in like a room? You're just like, and then you like turn and you see him or something. Yes. Like that?
All the time, and he's used to it now. At first, he was like, "You're so weird," but he's used to it now.
What are the chances of you guys? Because like a super popular TikTok, these like TikTok couples that he like is it turns into like wanting to be one of these TikTok couples.
Absolutely zero. He hates that. Like we could not be more polar opposites when it comes to like camera and videos. He's just like no, yeah exactly.
What
exactly?
What is your thought right now on the status or where social media is at in the volleyball world? Because we've talked about this a couple times, a few different people and a few of our guests. But what is your – like where can it go and where does it need to be improved the most, do you think?
Good question. I think it's like pretty important as an athlete like to have a big social media presence because – if you're not getting paid a ton, like it's really good to market yourself on there and like have a following and just like be inspirational or like, you know, just a lot of young people follow you and they follow what you do. So I think it's important to have like an established social media presence, even if you're like a famous athlete already that's like well known for your accomplishments. I think you should develop yourself on social media for sure because that's how you get endorsements. That's how you get, like, that's how you change the world, you know, like, or like, you know, make a difference. Whereas, or like, you can promote like a club you're starting up or like something that you're doing. It's good to promote on social media. Right. I think it's lacking in the sense where, like, I put out such great content. I'm biased, but high quality. But
Steven Spielberg, like,
yeah, and it exactly. And I don't necessarily get like compensation for that. Like, Instagram does not do anything. Like, I'm getting Instagram like good content, and then Instagram's not doing anything for me. Like, the only thing that they're doing for me is taking away, like, they hide my posts sometimes because like they want me to pay to promote, you know, so that post doesn't get as much engagement as it. Other one. So it's like they don't want me to be, they want me to be big, but they don't want me to be big, you know, without paying.
What's it called? Shadow blocking?
Lame.
Is that what it's
called? Yes. Exactly. Shadow blocking. Yes. Like,
you've done my research. Same
hashtags. Exactly. So I think it's lacking in that sense. Like, YouTube doesn't really do that. YouTube just like monetizes and you can make money on YouTube. I don't know. I haven't mastered YouTube yet. I'm trying, but it's kind of hard.
Yeah, YouTube is
a lot harder than Instagram, but
it is difficult. YouTube is difficult. We are finding that out too. It's and it's limited too. Like, the whole thing, I think what limits a lot of non-revenue generating sport athletes is say, like, when they are in kind of the spotlight, or say for volleyball, or I don't know, there's several other sports. When they are in college and stuff and they do have a little bit of a platform and that's a chance for them to make some money, it's tough, even from like YouTube and stuff. Like,
right.
We're limited on what we can do because of him being in the school right now, University of Hawaii. And so it limits that. But at the same time, I think it's 100% right.
Right.
We'll have a little bit more time here. I want to ask you kind of last question here. What is your season or the rest of your year look like leading up to next summer? Like, what do you do in your off time?
Good question. So because of quarantine and like no volleyball in California, I'm gonna move to Brazil because I'm a dual citizen. I I'm also Brazilian, and so I'm moving to Brazil probably in October to play on their pro circuit because they're playing. So I'll probably move there until like April or March, and then move back, and hopefully things are a little bit back to normal and there's going to be volleyball here in the US. But that's my plan for now. Right now I'm just like training. I have a Brazilian coach, and so I'm training with him right now, and then he's gonna communicate with my Brazilian coach there, and then I'll play there and Brazil, see how it goes. Brazil.
Which part of Brazil are you moving to?
São Paulo. It's not like the best place for beach, but they have like a strong program where my dad grew up in a beach town, and he has like a house there, so I'm gonna be staying there. It's gonna be like
sweet,
super nice. And then they have like a pretty strong program like 45 minutes away from there, so it like worked out
awesome.
Perfectly. Yeah,
that is amazing. Such a cool lifestyle. You do that every year? You move back Brazil and US every year?
No, this will be my first year. So last year was like my first pro like season, but my partner got hurt, so I didn't play in like half the tournaments I was supposed to, which sucked. But the year before I was in college, so I couldn't really do that. And so then,
getting censored by your coach.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I transferred. I went to three colleges. I went to
where?
Central Michigan, Houston, and University of Utah.
So Utah. I knew you finished up at Utah. Yeah. Go Utes.
Yeah.
Our parents, our grandparents, they're all University of Utah alums.
No way.
Yeah, and so that's we're awesome. Huge Utah fans. Nice. So go Utes. We don't like BYU at all. Even when we were in Hawaii, my dad would show up to our matches wearing his University of Utah hat.
That's hilarious.
To matches.
My brother played for BYU, and my husband played football at BYU. So
no go.
Tell him we don't like him.
Divided.
Just kidding. Just kidding. That's awesome. Well, Melissa, thank you very, very much. For anybody who's listening here, go check out her. You have your Instagram has a link to those shirts that You Can't Suck Forever. Go support her and her social media page. That's all. We're gonna be in LA next summer. Maybe we'll get you in on. Hopefully, Gage and I get our TikToks up and going by next summer. Maybe we'll have to film a TikTok together.
Yeah, we'll be in LA next summer.
A little TikTok collab. We won't know what we're doing, but. We never do. So thank you very much, Melissa. Have a wonderful day. Best of luck and safe travels.
Thanks, guys.
Back to Brazil in a couple months.
Thanks, guys.
Give me the beat, boys. I'm free. All righty. We're back with Gage. And apparently these birds that are outside my window that won't shut the hell up. Anyways, we're back here talking. Just had a lovely conversation with Melissa there. First time ever meeting her, definitely TikTok entertainer. She has, a bunch of followers. She has all this. Definitely awesome in the media world for volleyball. But I want to kind of go into two or three things that she kind of mentioned. First things first, smiling after you made an error. So, okay, I started from a young age, right? I always started from a young age, and I made mistakes, right? And luckily, after my third or fourth year, I started being, started really, really developing and really becoming the player that I am today. Well, not at that young of an age, but it's kind of starting on that path. So, I've made a bunch of mistakes, but I guess I've never been, the tall player, the tall kind of awkward player or anything like that. Obviously, as you can see, because of my stature. I've been the yoked player. I've been just absolutely ripped player, where I'm just hallways just too small for me. I've been that, just not tall. So, I don't know. I had teammates who, and she talked about smiling after making an error. I mean, I had teammates who did the same thing, and not gonna lie, it aggravated me, and I hated it, and I just wanted to just drop them. But and then again, I've never been that tall player, and I don't know. If someone did it today, okay, I would be even more enraged. If you do it today, like my age, 20 something, or even pretty much 16 or higher, it's gonna aggravate me a bunch. But, if you're 15 or younger and you're, a kid and, you're, obviously you're awkward about your size. You have a different way of handling stuff. I mean, I understand it more. Not in the moment. I'm not going to understand, especially if I'm your teammate. But looking back on it, I get it. I mean, not that I get it, but, I mean, I understand it, I guess. And is the, I mean, I didn't mean to add that there, but I mean, I understand it. So I kind of get where she's coming from, but it definitely pissed me off a bunch. Another thing she talked about was the creepy old man on Instagram. Now, I have a lot of history. Well, not me. I mean, I've had some weird... We talked about with the Nebraska girls. I've had some weird, definitely, DMs. I talked to some of them. You know, a lot of girls in NCAA volleyball, what you don't know is that a lot of girls get contacted by... I mean, we have a lot of friends that have done that, have had this. They get contacted by men or guys for feet pics. Feet pics are huge right now, let me tell you. And obviously, there's a lot of NCAA players out there. There's a lot of attractive players out there. And I guess a lot of attractive, good-looking feet. Because we have a lot of friends that have been contacted, like, paying money to, like, for the feet. I know an ex-Hawaii women's volleyball player. She has her own account for straight feet pics, man. Like, that's... And she makes months, dude. Like, not even, like, small amount of money, but a lot of money. And I've actually one of my friends, Abigail Fox, she has this, I don't know if she'll care if I use her name, she won't care. She has this guy who contacts her, went to high school with, he's like always asking, please, just feed pics, and like begging her, literally begging her for like a year, and she wouldn't do anything. And then finally when I got that, she told me about it. I'm like, dude, send my feet to this guy. So what happened is she just took videos of my feet, like a bunch of my, like did angles, like really funny, and that guy was absolutely loving it. So if you're a girl out there and you're NCAA volleyball, be expecting some weird guys to DM you about some feet pics, because that definitely is a thing. It happens all the time, and I don't know, probably make money off it, so think about that. Like when I get asked, like, should I do it, should I not? It's like, dude, it's your feet. Who cares? You're getting money for that. If someone came up to me and asked me for feet pics, I'd be like, hell yes. I've heard my girlfriend, she had a guy who wanted socks. That's different, because you got to pay for shipping and handling. If you pay for shipping and handling, plus the money's going to pay you, maybe I do, yeah, for sure. Right, but that's different. But just feed pics, heck yeah, I do it. I mean, I guess if you're not comfortable, don't do it. But, like, if you're kind of debating it, I mean, here's your feet. I mean, everyone sees your feet. So that's my opinion on old men and feet pics and smiling after volleyball. Well, this has been a super fun episode. Great talking with Melissa. Great talking to a TikTok star. And this has been If You Can't Handle the Heat, presented by Out of System.